can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, I'm very excited to have my next guest with me. He's truly one of our national intellectual leaders, and it is always a pleasure to have him on because he stretches my brain. I want to welcome the news editor for Human Events, Mr. Brent Havlicek. Brent, welcome. Good to have you.
It's good to be here after that humbling introduction. I think my knees just went through my family room floor. So very, very grateful, very humbled, and I'll spend the next X number of minutes letting down all of your listeners from that high perch you just set me upon.
I was going to say, I just kind of set you up, but that was kind of intentional. I was trying to, you know. Man, oh man, there's so much to converse about. I had, you know, one of the things that I thought about is the assault on our liberties that just, I mean, they just continue to compound, in my opinion, right? We had American Airlines had, issues this weekend, thousands of people stranded. And of course, they don't want you to know that, that there's probably a good reason for that had to do with, again, this pending dramatic enforcement of mandatory injections. I don't know where you stand with any of that. You and I haven't talked about that at all. I'm not an anti-vaxxer per se, but I've done a ton of research, brought on a number of experts, and I have major issues, even, you know, just with how they have incubated vaccines over the years, but in particular with this particular injection, a lot of the issues from things I've heard from Dr. Brian Artis, Dr. Brian Hooker, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Judy Mikovits. I mean, a lot of different people, folks, a lot of different people. Brent, your thoughts on it?
So I think, you know, the vaccine piece, you said you're not an anti-vaxxer, and it's a shame that it even has to be framed in that context, right? Because what this ought to be about is, there's a vaccine available, there's information about it, each person.
Brent, I lost you. Hello, Brent. One more time.
Can you hear me?
Yep, now I got you. Go ahead. I got you.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's okay.
The wonders of technology or lack thereof.
You were just saying that it shouldn't really be about whether you know having to frame it that way. Go ahead.
Right. So it should be about whether or not somebody gets a chance to read the information about this vaccine, take a look at their own life and health circumstances, and then make a decision as to whether or not they want to have it. But instead, what we've done with this is, of course, we've used it. And, you know, people say, gosh, it's such a shame this has to be political. It's not a political issue. It's a health issue. Well, it's been made political. And it's been made political by a class of people who have used the vaccine as an opportunity to exert control over everyone. So this is just yet another piece that ends up in a totalitarian toolkit. And unfortunately, once it gets used that way, then even people who might otherwise want to have it will choose not to for political reasons. And some people who probably shouldn't have it will choose to have it for political reasons. And we continue to live in the world of Dr. Seuss's Sneetch's story, where we've got stars on our belly or we don't. And we're starting to look at people and judge them based upon this, have they had the vaccine or have they not, criteria. And that's tragic. Sort of a closing the loop on that thought. For some people, not having this vaccination is a perfectly rational choice. Consider it this way. The risk of death to an average person of average age and sort of average health is very, very close to zero. Not only that, they may not catch the disease at all. On the other hand, if they take the vaccine, they are introducing a risk into their body voluntarily with a potential chance of doing them great harm. So it could be a very rational thing to simply say, I'm not going to take something and put it into my body to prevent me from maybe getting something in my body that if I do get it, I won't die. That's a rational choice that we're attempting to take away from people.
Well, and you know, there's, again, as you said, and now I'm, you know, if I drill down into that, then I'm drilling down into, you know, what I believe are the arguments on one side or the other. And I believe that there are arguments to suggest, and I have a lot of that information up on my site. You can also go to vaxsafety.org, and I had Nurse Angela that was on that took it and ended up literally in ER immediately. I mean, as soon as it hit her system, right, they had to rush her to emergency. Stories, and she has story after story after story of young people, many of whom are dead.
Well, look, I know those people myself firsthand. I should say people like that, straight to the ER. Prolonged impact from the neurofunctional disorder that's from it, I know firsthand in my life. Let me share with you something else, though, that's firsthand and in my life. Within the last handful of days, an immediate family member of mine, and I live in the state of Illinois, was diagnosed, a vaccinated person, by the way, diagnosed with the China flu. And in Illinois, the doctors here, for the most part, almost exclusively, refuse to treat the disease. So in this case, because I have opportunities and connections that other people don't have, I was able to get my family member an immediate prescription of exactly what can be used and has been used by doctors, a handful of doctors around the country, like my friend Dr. Zelenko, to treat this disease for over a year. My family member was completely symptom-free in about 36 hours from starting the treatment. This is and has always been a treatable disease, and it's a treatable disease that the American medical community has ignored the treatment to prescribe, in part from fear of reprisal and in part over politics. This is the greatest and biggest story in American history that bureaucrats, politicians, and doctors have been complicit in the murder of American citizens. And as I say that, Greg, I know how strong that language sounds. Mm-hmm. I say it without hesitation. I will defend it to anyone in their presence or elsewhere. This has been murder. I don't know what else you call it when you have the means to treat a disease and instead you send people home, like my family member was sent home, by the way, basically saying, drink water and you'll either get better or we'll see you back here at the emergency room with a full-blown respiratory infection. This is inexcusable.
And
instead,
then
I got them treatment and they're fine.
Well, and then when they do bring them back in, they give them like Remdesivir, which the number one side effect of that is their lungs are going to fill with fluid. And then they're going to put them on the respirator, and then there's a very strong chance they're not going to make it. You know, I had it back in December. Mm-hmm. And I had a bad case. I mean, severe. The fever, the chills, the shortness of breath, the whole bit, okay? I ended up with double pneumonia on top of it, and I was coughing up blood. And my doctor was like, oh, you need to go. You know, he wanted to send me to ER. And I said, listen, I will not go to the hospital. They will kill me. So I stayed home. I went on quercetin, vitamin D3, zinc, vitamin C, my essential minerals that I take. And then in addition to that, I also had azithromycin, dexamethasone, albuterol, and Symbicort, the breathing treatments.
Yep.
And I stayed home. And it took about 3 weeks to get over it, because like I say, I had a pretty bad case. But I'll tell you what, obviously, here I am. And my doctor told me that if I had gone, because I have morbidities, folks. I have AFib. I had major weight issues. Still have some weight issue. I've lost 115 pounds recently. But
congratulations.
Thank you. But I had weight. I had all of the issues associated with the catastrophic car accident that I was in, Brent. And I knew that if I went there, they'd start messing around and I'd be dead. And he said, you know what? If you had gone to the hospital, you're right. They would have killed you. And you're the case that I use as an example, because you're my most significant case that survived. Go ahead, Brent. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to keep you cut off.
No. Somebody ought to cut me off. look, I have been... I have been taking Dr. Zelenko's protocol for a year now, which includes quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc, daily regimen of that.
Yep.
Here's what I can tell the folks in your audience without making some sort of a cause-effect representation, but talking about a correlation. While I've been on that prophylactic treatment, everyone in my home has had this disease. I haven't, or if I have, it's passed me asymptomatically. I also, in that period of time, have had the onset of two common colds, which of course are coronavirus strains.
Right.
And both of those colds were gone from me in all symptomatic form within 36 hours. Now I'm 59 years old and I've been getting colds all my life.
There you go.
Never in my life.
We're going to take a break.
Yep.
Back right after
you
this with Brent Hamachek.
It's a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.
Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
Thank you for tuning into Chosen Generation. Chosen Generation is about equipping, encouraging, and challenging this generation to engage culture and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our city, county, state, and nation to be the Christian influence and light that we have been called to be. Pastor Greg is committed to seeing God's life-changing power work in you. If you need prayer today or have a question, you can reach us at 830-446-3624.
830-446-3624. If your church or group would like to have Pastor Greg come and share his passion to raise up a chosen generation, he is available to bring that same life-changing message and anointing to your event. Again, that number is 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. Give us a call and keep on listening, because you are God's chosen generation.
John MacArthur, join me for today's Portraits of Grace. When God devises a plan, He always makes the necessary provisions for carrying it out, even when that plan may seem impossible from our finite perspective. I'm sure the Israelites must have had some lingering concerns about God's plan to take them out of Egypt. Could the sprinkling of blood on their doorpost truly keep the angel of death from killing their firstborn? And what about following Moses across the bottom of the Dead Sea with massive walls of water on both sides? Well, in spite of those circumstances, they obeyed, and God proved faithful. I hope you realize that God's provisions are always best. They may sometimes seem hard to believe to the human intellect, but you prove your faith when you trust God, believe His promises, receive His provisions gratefully. This is John MacArthur encouraging you to live as portraits of grace.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and my special guest is Brent Hamacek. Brent Hamacek, he is the news editor for Human Event. Human Events, and I really encourage you. It's a great website where you're just going to get pure information. And tell them real quick, Brent, how they can connect with you guys and stay up to date with what you guys are doing over there.
Yes, we're humanevents.com. Of course, we're a platform that's been around for 80 years. Of course, it started in print, no internet back then, but we're now a digital platform, and we're news and opinion, and we have Jack Posobiec in our stable, and we have Charlie Kirk in our stable, and those are two pretty good thoroughbreds to have writing for you and reporting for you and sharing content.
You bet.
You can even see my name there once in a while. And news, much in line with the notion of America first conservative ideas and values. So you'll find us to neither be traditional conservative nor libertarian. We take the best of both those things and we apply them to an America first sort of approach.
All right. Talk to me about, there's an event you were mentioning to me in the break that I think is really important for folks to be aware of. Can you talk to me about that, what is being planned, and can we get into that conversation a little bit?
Yeah, we'll be doing an exclusive story on this on Human Events, so your listeners can find it either, sometime later Monday or with your morning coffee on Tuesday. But this is a Stand for Freedom event that's been organized by Lee Dundas, a California attorney. And you can find information for it at citizens-rights.org. But essentially, this is a call for a four-day walkout across the country for people to step up and step out in protest of vaccine mandates. And it's a way to formalize, make a strong statement, which, of course, ends on Veterans Day, would be the last day of it. It's November 8th through 11th. To make a strong statement and formalize what's been happening informally across the country now for weeks. I mean, we have some good inside information that would suggest to us that all the disruptions you saw in Southwest Airlines a few weeks ago, while they were blamed on weather and other issues, were actually a result of crew members refusing to work. This past weekend, we've seen the Southwest and American Airlines disasters and flight cancellations taking place. And what's very interesting, and why I can't show any sort of known cause that relates to the vaccine piece, What I'm struck by, Greg, is the fact that in all of the major media accounts of it, they don't even speculate that that could be part of it. They list weather, and they list mechanical issues, and they list lack of crew because still ramping up from the pandemic. But they refuse to even speculate that it could be because of employees protesting vaccine mandates. And at the end of the day, what Lee is trying to do in the Stand for Freedom event is to have everybody get together at the same time across the country to step up and step out and do it in a way where hopefully our political leaders will take notice.
And how would one go about participating in this? It's really more of a spontaneous grassroots. You just say, you know, today or for this week, I'm not going to be coming in. How's this being organized?
Well, I would in that, for that question, I would direct people to the website, citizen-rights.org. The hashtag on social media is hashtag AxeTheVax, A-X-E, AxeTheVax. And so you can find out information and figure out how to participate and those sorts of things. I'll stop just short of being an event organizer, but I will do this. I will be an event and a concept proponent. This is a time where we need to understand that people like us, and this has been my theme since January, we are now cast in the light of being like those Eastern European dissidents in the last part of the 20th century, people that in countries very much like ours used to be, mm-hmm. suddenly found themselves under the thumb of the Stasi, of the NKVD, who had their civil rights taken away from them, who did not have the same ability to live life the way people who supported the party in those countries would live their lives. That's where we are. You know, we still have a constitution. We still have all the same legal protections that other folks do, except that we don't, because the authorities, the people in charge, are denying us those protections. And our legal rights are only as good as the enforcement of those rights. And we've lost them. And so it's time for people to realize that they need to figure out in their own heart and mind what it is they're willing to do, how far they're willing to go, to stand up and be heard and be counted and fight back against this sort of tyranny. And make no mistake, that's the word to use. This is simple tyranny. So embrace your inner Lech Walesa or Alexander Solzhenitsyn, or pick your favorite Eastern European, put them on your t-shirt, I have Solzhenitsyn on mine, and wear their image and wear their spirit. Find a way to apply it.
Well, and folks, I just, so you know, as a believer, as a Christian, it's so important. We either need to choose to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, or bow down to these tyrant kings, and now we are making them the Lord of our lives. And I firmly believe that as a believer, this is the same question that our founders were posed. Are you going to make King George your king, or are you going to make King Jesus your king? And then what is that going to look like, and how are you going to act it out? It's the reason that I believe that they were willing to sacrifice everything. And we're at that juncture again, Brent, in my opinion.
Right. If I could, I'd love to take a moment and make a point that I'm sort of fond of making in a disappointed way since this pandemic has started. You know, if you as a Christian were approached by a non-Christian who said, gosh, I've been reading up on this Christianity thing and I'm kind of inclined to sign up, give me one selling point that can convince me to become a Christian. Well, the most compelling selling point that we have as Christians is the gift of eternal life. If you're going to convert a non-believer into a believer, convince them of that and they'll sign on. I mean, I get to exist forever. That's pretty compelling. What we've learned during the pandemic is that many of us who live under the proclaimed banner of Christ aren't buying what we're selling, because our obsession with temporal life has caused us to lose track of the fact that we've been promised eternal life. And so we have given in to fear. We have accepted the edicts of the state. We've trusted not in God, but we've turned to man. We were meant as Christians to be sheep. We are simply following the wrong shepherd. And that's been a great disappointment to me, and certainly within my own church, the Catholic Church. I've seen far too much of that, and it's been very disheartening. And so I would call to everyone to, you know, revisit that part of our faith that makes us great, and that is that gift and promise of eternal life, and try to keep that in mind as you soldier through the day.
I would also just add to that the encouragement that we have also been set free in the here and now. Jesus's proclamation wasn't just about a second coming. It was at the beginning of his ministry, Brent, wherein he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." What we offer to people is an open door to join that kingdom right here, right now. Yes, is it eternal? Absolutely. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. You don't have to wait for eternity to experience the promises of Christ in your life and true freedom and liberty that is worth living for. Not just dying for, worth living for. There's an adventure that God has for you in the here and now that is so incredible. And this is coming from a guy that's died four times.
Day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, "What did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up. And in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest."